At the start of the year, 200-plus migrants were arriving in the Mahi City every single day. That number has dropped dramatically.
Right now, we're seeing between 20 and 30 people a day.
John Ewing with the city of Denver says it's opened up more resources for families who are timing out of shelters.
More breathing room to work with the current population and really focus on their needs. So it's been incredibly helpful.
At the start of the month, Denver started discharging migrants living in shelters to enforce time limits previously set by the city. At the time, there were close to 3,900 migrants. That number has dropped to 2,400 in the span of 3 weeks. Ewing says most people are finding housing.
You know, I don't think you see large-scale homeless encampments popping up.
But there is at least one encampment, this one, in front of Elitch Gardens, which has doubled in size since we were here exactly 3 weeks ago.
Este es el que está creciendo.
Juan Carlos tells us there's more than 60 people living at this encampment.
Buenos días.
Many sharing tents with others.
Van a seguir botando a la gente.
The migrant from Peru says if they keep discharging people, the camp will obviously continue to grow. And he says it's because of one reason. Juan Carlos says it's because they don't have work permits. Meanwhile, Ewing says they're aware of the growing site and says they have outreach teams working with those migrants.
But yeah, just have to keep working with the people who are in there and try to help them out.
Then we've got this guy.
Mi gente, he pensado invadir una casa en United States, ya que me enteré que existe una ley que dice que si una casa no está habitada, podemos expropiarla.
Many of you know that reporting from risky environments like CHOP in Seattle or street protests, that often puts my safety on the line. Despite having a concealed weapons permit, carrying a bulky item while filming in such situations, it's always been a challenge. That brings me to today's sponsor and the solution to my problem, the Vanish Daily Carry Holster. What stands out about this Vanish holster is its comfort and discretion. It weighs just 6 ounces. It's made from durable Cordura material that's gentle on the skin. Designed to fit 99% of semi-automatic pistols, it's adjustable for right and left-handed users. It features a secure trigger guard and includes utility or magazine pouches. Wear it under a loose t-shirt and it's virtually undetectable. Vanish Holsters offers 100% money back guarantee, ensuring a risk-free purchase. Plus, they're offering $50 off the retail price for those who use my special link below. And don't forget the huge giveaway. Vanish Holsters is giving away an $80,000 custom Rocky Ridge Silverado truck to one lucky buyer who purchases by June 3rd. Check out the link in the description to get the most comfortable holster you've ever worn and a chance to win this incredible truck. So like the headline says, what could possibly go wrong? Denver has set up a hotline for residents to host illegals in their homes. Yeah, I mean, come on in. It'll be all good. Yeah, this is one of those ideas where believing that you're and then look at this. Oh, no. This is one of those ideas where it's kind of like you hear a lot of people explain the drug crisis. All right. So you live in a city where the residents of the city believe the best of everybody. That, hey, if you decriminalize drugs, all these people won't do a whole bunch of drugs and they won't turn on each other and create this nightmarish dystopia that is known as Portland, right? Or Seattle or Denver. Or LA or San Francisco. They actually believe that if you decriminalize, well, things are going to get better because, you know, now people aren't going to be incarcerated for little pesky drug problems. But the reality is it just enabled thousands and thousands and thousands of more people to get hooked on this stuff because there's no pushback on their addictions. So it's just a one-way trip to addiction. Oh, why wouldn't we do this? So take that and apply that to housing in Denver for the illegals. Just let them live with you. Let them live in your house. Now, if you're a good, God-fearing, church-going person, you might believe, well, God's going to save me. Jesus is going to be right there with me. Yeah. But then you've got a certain percentage of these folks, like the kid that we saw in the video, who was, you know, basically saying, hey, you can squat and take over these United States homes. It's all good. He's since been, he's wanted by ICE. ICE caught up with him eventually. And they had some questions for him, and they've been looking for him for a couple of years. But you've got these storylines going on. Meanwhile, you've got Denver. You know what? Just let him into your home. Let him live in your home. It'll all be good. We'll all sing Kumbaya and, you know, and go to church on Sunday. If you do this, you deserve everything that happens to you, the article goes on to say. Okay, you're saying something's going to go wrong? That's not good. After multiple stories of squatters taking over homes and authorities not helping homeowners reclaim their properties, anyone who lets an illegal immigrant into their home is asking to lose absolutely everything. Okay. All right. I'm listening. You know what? I don't disagree. Because you are rolling the dice on people that have not been vetted at all, right? With so many of these folks coming from parts unknown, we don't know where they're coming from. Whereas where I talk about, you know, the only real experience that I have of taking illegals into a home situation is my home church when I was a kid in Snohomish, Washington. The situation that my family was involved in and my church was involved in that I went to anyway was the Vietnam War. You had all these refugees coming over. I mean, you knew what you were getting into. What we've got going on today is we've got people from all over the world, not just one country. They're not just coming from Ukraine because they got bombed out. They're not just coming from Vietnam because, you know, you get that whole Vietnam War thing, right? They're not just coming from XYZ where they're coming in and saying, hey, you know what? Lost everything. Need some help. Here we go. These folks are coming from all parts of the world, all these countries in Central America and South America, coming from Africa, coming from South Africa. They're coming from China. They're coming from China. And so you don't know who's doing what. So the article goes on to say, our advice, don't do it. You know what? You have to balance that. What's the good humanitarian thing to do with what's the good thing to do to protect my family or to protect my, you know, what's mine or protect what, you know, what my family has built up? What's the good thing to do there? Well, yeah, you have to say, probably don't do it. Don't do it. But Denver, you know, the sanctuary city that's cutting police and fire and laying off hourly employees to fund illegals, is now setting up a hotline so residents can house illegal immigrants in their own homes. Yeah, that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. That's what they've come down to. Not get them housing, not work through their work permit. But hey, let's have them come live with you. Let's just, you know, I say we start with the mayor. I say we start with the governor and maybe city council, you know, all those kind of folks. Maybe we just do a little beta testing, a little test run there just to see, test the waters and see what happens when, you know, you let a bunch of illegals into your home. Because percentage wise, good percentage of these folks, nothing's going to happen. But when you let millions of these illegals into the country, there's a certain percentage that are going to be bad hombres, right? And so you're going to see some of that happen and rather see it happen to elected officials of a sanctuary city first, just a little test run, just a little litmus test. Hey, let's just see how this goes. Let's watch this video.
Now, if you're interested in learning more about hosting a migrant family, all you got to do is take out your phone, dial 211. It's as easy as that. You're going to be asked a few questions, things along the lines of how long are you able to host somebody? What kind of space are you available to provide? And Kettering says you can expect that phone call to last about 20 minutes. Reporting live in Denver, Nate Pelt, Fox 31.
There you go. There you go. Bob's your uncle. I mean, 20 minutes. You get one phone call in, 20 minutes later, you've got a host family. You know, you're a host family ready to take on a bunch of people. Is this a good idea? You know, I'd say no. I'd say absolutely no. No, because you just don't know. You don't know who anybody is, and you can't be responsible for vetting somebody that's come from Venezuela. And this whole notion that they're running from something, they're literally caminante, you know, into the United States through Mexico. You know, we don't know what they're running from. We don't know what their situation is. We don't know what their background is. And I'm not saying, hey, ixnay on all immigration. I'm just saying that the way that this is being thrown at us, particularly Denver in this case, doesn't make a lot of sense. It makes you just kind of push back with, hey there, cowboy. Maybe we need to slow this down and figure out who we've got in the country first, and then figure out what to do as a game plan. Because when you're in a situation where your actual game plan is, hey, let's just have them live with taxpaying citizens. This should be fine. Let's just go ahead and have the taxpaying citizens fund all these bills. Because you know they're going to end up doing that anyway. They're already funding the government, right? Look at how genius that's working out. When you've got a government like Denver, who is literally cutting police service, cutting firefighter service, they cut park service. I think they've put that back together. Multiple instances where they said, you know what? We don't have the budget, but since we're a sanctuary city, we're just going to keep on taking these folks in. I'm sure it'll work out. But now everybody knows, ooh, yeah, we've got a big deficit in Denver. Therefore, we need you taxpayers who already paid once in through your taxes. We're going to need you on the back end to, yeah, take some of the illegals and let them live with you in your homes. Quick 20-minute phone call. You too can be a host family. Expedite the process of losing your home to an illegal immigrant in one simple 20-minute phone call. That's what we've got going on, right? I'm sure it'll work out fine, though, don't you think? Don't you just kind of want to move to Denver and, you know, host your own illegal immigrant? Maybe just do a big boarding house and see how that goes. We've had a community in Tukwila, which is a suburb south of Seattle, that has taken on hundreds of illegals to the point where this encampment just kept growing. And they were the ones that went to city council in Seattle. Antifa basically drove them to the Seattle city council meetings, this big, huge group. And now they're living in a park. They've been living in a park next to Garfield High School. Now they're living in a park in the central area of Seattle. They're just getting moved around because there's no budget for them. And this church had taken them on. And this church is like, man, we can't take care of this. This got out of control. Yeah. So all of this, well, let's move them here. There's no funding. Okay, put them in a hotel. That's what you've got going on. That's what you've got going on in Denver. But ultimately, like our next little section goes here, I'm sure the phones are ringing off the hook. Oh, yeah. We're a sanctuary city. Oh, we need to do our civic duty and we need to take a bunch of them in. Now, what I'm saying is if there is, you know, a little bit more of a process, if our southern border wasn't quite so open and if Customs and Border Protection didn't act like basically a tourist guide and then an Uber driver, where can we take you? Which sanctuary city can we get you to? Which airport can we give you a ticket to go to and then fly to your destination of choice? We didn't have that already going on. Denver wouldn't be, hey, would you help us out? Can you help a brother out and, you know, take some of these illegals in? You wouldn't have that situation going on if you didn't have the precursor to that, which is just we've had a wide open southern border. And now Denver has taken on, they've taken on a fair share because they virtue signal. Oh, yeah, sanctuary city. It's going to be the greatest social experiment ever. We're just going to do it and we're going to do it with smiles on our faces. And then all of a sudden, we're shutting down all of the housing for illegals. Oh, and by the way, yeah, those months-long stays that you'd heard about as you were migrating up from Venezuela, Honduras, Guatemala, wherever, those month-long stays, yeah, there's been a little bit of a change to that program. Now it's between 24 hours and 72 hours. But you know what? You don't have to stay in our, you know, facilities. You don't have to stay in our, you know, housing. If you have family in the area, you can go stay with them. That's literally what leadership in Denver said. You can go stay with them. Okay. Yeah. We don't have a lot of housing for you here in Denver and there's not a lot of opportunity. And if you don't have family, okay. So that leads me to my next point. I'd like you to consider going to any other sanctuary city other than Denver. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thought you said you were a sanctuary city. Oh, we are. We're just not hosting any illegals right now. I mean, it's just the budget, you know, stuff. But hey, quick 20-minute phone call, you too can have a bunch of illegals unvetted. Lord knows what. I mean, I'm sure your 16-year-old daughter's going to be fine. She's just, you know, the interaction with, you know, 4 or 5 military-aged individuals, men. It's going to be good. It's going to be great. I mean, it's going to be a learning experience. Yeah, right? Hopefully not. We can't imagine anyone taking the city up on this offer. That's always my thought as well. It's like, okay, who's going to do that? What do-gooder is actually, you know what? I saw an ad for that today. Let me write down that number and burp, 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 burp on your phone. Yeah. It's just, does that work? Does anybody really do that? Oh yeah, I did. Yeah. No, they robbed me for all I had, but you know what? When I get up to the kingdom, it's all going to be good. Like, yeah. You lost all your stuff and somebody's squatting in your house and you had some horrific crime committed against you. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but you know, it's stuff that we're seeing. Yeah. I'd have to say this is be a hard no-go for me. So here's somebody else that goes on to say, who would do this honestly? Well, some people who, in their heart of hearts, believe that all of mankind is good. I tend to read the news, and guess what? The news is telling me, things aren't all necessarily good. We've got scooter gangs riding around New York City that are very reminiscent of how, Venezuela, El Salvador, any of those third world countries that are struggling, that are giving up millions of their residents because they're trying to get the F out of Dodge. And that's how they operated for years with scooters. Now we've got some of that coming into the United States, criminal activity, criminal gangs riding around on scooters. You've got instances of that happening left and right. And in these sanctuary cities, these illegal criminals know that they can get away with it because ICE isn't really involved in a sanctuary city. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, no, we don't support any interaction with ICE. So article goes on to say, who would do this honestly? And their conclusion is an idiot. That's who. Would I go with idiot? I would go with somebody who is naive and unsuspecting, a tree hugger, a do-gooder that is not reading the news, certainly doesn't read this news channel, because I think there's enough evidence that would lead you to believe maybe that's not the greatest idea. Maybe these folks, till they get all vetted and go through all that stuff, which is never going to happen, maybe they should just, you know, stay in the county housing, state housing, city housing, whatever that is, and let them sort it out. That's kind of where I'd be, which is why government came up with this idea. They think that you're stupid. Don't prove them right, the article goes on to say. Okay. All right. So they will move in and then take over the home and then kick out the rightful owners. Well, that's a little bit of a harsh approach. I mean, that's a little over the top. But hey, when you got the illegal immigrant kid saying, hey, you know, there's laws in America that, you know, allow you to take over and squat, and then, you know, you just fix it up and it becomes yours and you sell it. When you've got notions like that out there, literally having millions of views on TikTok, then you got to kind of wonder, oh, yeah, what am I getting myself into? So this, somebody goes on to say, this is a great time to discuss the Third Amendment and quartering. My suggestion to Denver citizens, don't call. That would probably be high up on my list as solid advice, the author goes on to say. Utter insanity. Have you ever wanted to host an illegal alien in your home? Denver, Colorado has just opened up a new hotline where you can voluntarily offer up your home to illegals. So far, it's voluntary. I wonder how long until this becomes mandatory. We're living in a complete joke of a... Let's watch this video.
If you live in Denver, Colorado, you can now call a hotline. You call 211, and they will deliver to you an illegal alien straight to your home. And I'm not even joking. There is a new hotline launched in the city of Denver, Colorado, where you can open a spare room in your home to a quote-unquote migrant. Yeah, that's going to end well. that's going to end well. So this is what we've come to in the United States of America. This is what we've come to under Joe Biden. The border is so wide open, there are so many crossings, and nobody even knows how to handle it anymore, that cities are now opening up hotlines for illegals to be hosted with people. Now, can you imagine, what's the name of the person? We know the name. The name is Karen. But who are these people that are calling this hotline and saying, yeah, I want to host an illegal? Number one, you got to be sick, okay? So it's not safe for the illegals, because anybody who wants these illegals, they probably just want an indentured servitude, okay? Let's just be honest. It's going to be a new form of slavery. Yeah, you can stay in my home, sure. Mow the lawn, bitch. Cook the food, bitch. The other kind of person that wants to host these are very sick sugar daddy types that you would find on websites, but they don't have the money for that, so they're just going to call the hotline and get themselves a cute little Guatemalan girl delivered to their door. Hopefully they're overage, but probably you don't really know. And forget about the safety of the illegals, because we really don't care about that. What we really care about is the safety of the American people. Can you imagine having a daughter and calling this hotline and saying, yeah, let's have a migrant come to my home, a migrant, rapist migrants. Let's remember what they do. You're going to have an illegal show up to your door. Poor little Sarah, your little six-year-old daughter, is going to be taking a shower. And Mr. Somalian migrant is going to go Joe Biden, Ashley Biden on her. This is the America that they're creating. Now, mind you, no hotline to take care of homeless veterans. No hotline to take care of the many people that have lost their livelihoods for Joe Biden's economy. No hotline to take care of the vaccine injured and get compensation from the government who forced the vaccine down our veins. No compensation for them. But let's have a hotline, a taxpayer-funded hotline, to put illegal scum in the homes of American citizens. So far, it's voluntary. So far. They introduced these concepts as voluntary. Next thing you know, oh, you have 7 bedrooms in your home? We're going to take 3 of those. And we're going to put some illegals in there. And you're just going to have to accept it. You have a second home? We're just going to take that home. And we're just going to put a couple of illegals in there. And then you pair this with the squatter's rights. So you take an illegal in your home, and then they squat, and they never go home. They never leave. This is Joe Biden's America, and it is a complete scam.
You know, I'd want to say different, and he might be a little over the top on some of this stuff, but once you voluntarily allow the person in your home, the home will now be changed to mandatory. Is that going to happen? Is that going to happen? I mean, the odds of that happening, to me, it seems fairly unlikely, but can you rule that out? Absolutely not. No. I mean, I could see that happening in a heartbeat. Just like, okay, yeah, all right, this is what we're doing. Because we saw that happen during the pandemic, didn't we? We saw that happen during the pandemic. We're doing what now? I got to do what to keep my job? I got to do what in order to, you know, be able to go out to a restaurant? I mean, coronavirus is, you know, standing up and then you sit down. It's different. The whole thing is just crazy, right? Yeah. This is where we sit. A hotline to bring illegals into your home. That's the solution. That is the solution. Like at the beginning of this, I'm sure it's going to work out fine. If it doesn't, podcast for days. Make sure that you have subscribed to this channel, hit that notification bell, all that good stuff. And I'll see you on the next one. Thanks again for being here. We'll catch up then. Bye for now.